of Daniel in chapter number 9. The book of Daniel in chapter number 9. We're going to read from verse number 27. Daniel chapter 9 and verse number 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Over, please, to chapter number 11. And I'm going to read verse number 36. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined that shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honour the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honour with gold and silver and precious stones and pleasant things. Over, please, to the book of Revelation in chapter number 13, and we'll read the whole chapter together. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And it was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And we've been thinking tonight in prayer about the lives of 3 young people who have been released from the bondage of Satan. And we do not underestimate, of course, the power of Satan today. We know that is nothing compared to the verses we've read about this evening in the book of Daniel, and also in the book of Revelation. Satan's satanic worship today is an overt thing, a secret thing, a hidden thing. We read together that all who dwell upon the earth shall worship the dragon who gave power to the beast, and they'll worship the beast. Such pressure would put upon the whole world that men might not buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the beast or the number of his name. We read there about tremendous power. The dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. Can we imagine a world which is dominated by two men who are empowered by Satan himself? But we must say at the beginning that every dog has his day. And Satan will have his day in this world for 7 years, seven dreadful years. But those years will come to an end. And before our Bible ends, the beast and the false prophet are taken and they're cast alive into the lake of fire. And the dragon himself is also taken and is locked up for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. He's released for a season. He's allowed one last revolt against God. And the sad thing is that despite 1,000 years of the benevolent reign of our Lord Jesus, a king reigning in righteousness, he still finds an army who will follow his standard and those who are prepared to follow him. But it will come to an end, and soon the dragon himself, the devil, will join the beast and the false prophet forever in the lake of fire. The devil will have his day, but it will only be for 7 short years. How long will there be between the rapture? Well, last week we finish off at the rapture. How long will there be between the rapture and the coming again to this world of our Lord Jesus? We heard it often said 7 years. But, you know, I think that 7 years really, it refers to the period between the beginning of the covenant. We read in Daniel chapter number 9, he shall confirm the covenant. And the 7 years really covers the beginning of that covenant with the nation of Israel till the end of that covenant, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again to this world. See, for that covenant to be confirmed, there must be a confederacy formed of 10 states, 10 nations. And out of those 10 nations, one little horn will arise, the beast. And he'll destroy 3 kings and take their power. And all these kings of this confederacy will give their power unto the beast. And that's not going to happen overnight. And there'll also be a king will rise up in the land of Israel, the Antichrist. And we read about him in Daniel chapter number 11. The king shall do according to his will. And that covenant is confirmed with the nation of Israel. Their religious freedom is guaranteed by the beast under this covenant. So we assume then the temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem. So all these things must be in place even before this last 7 years begins, between the signing of the covenant and the returning again to this world of our Lord Jesus. So we might safely say that between the rapture and the Lord's return, there will be a period of 7 years plus an indefinite period. We can't put a time in it. And after the rapture of the saints, things will change dramatically in this world. And the confederacy will be formed, and these men will rise to power, the beast and the Antichrist. And the 7 years will begin with what we read of in Daniel chapter number 9. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And he is the man of the previous verse, the prince who shall come. This world then is looking for a ruler. You know, they tell me over in Europe, people have thought for years that the beast was the common market. Well, you know, maybe when they got to 10 nations, they might have thought, well, maybe this is it. But of course, now there's 15. And there's soon going to be 25. But you know, next year, 2004, they're going to elect a president over the Confederacy of European Nations. So we can't say that the common market is the beast, but something like it. Perhaps it will all collapse in a day to come and be reformed, and 10 states will confederate. And they'll look for a man. They'll look for a man to lead them. And that will be Satan's man. That will be the beast, the prince that shall come. And why is the covenant necessary? He shall confirm the covenant with the many for 1 week. You know, Isaiah 28, God says to the nation of Israel, ye have said, we have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall come upon us, we shall not be trodden down of it. It shall not come unto us. In those days, Israel perhaps will lose its military supremacy in the Middle East. There's a man described in Daniel chapter 11 as a king of the north. He's the overflowing scourge. And Israel will feel threatened. And so they'll look for an ally. They'll look for somebody to help them, to protect them. And the man of the moment will be the beast. He'll be the head of this 10-nation confederacy. So the beast will confirm a covenant with them for 1 week, for a period of 7 years, as it'll turn out. Now, God has made a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And of course, God's covenants will stand. God keeps his word. Their sins and iniquities he will remember no more. They will all say, "Know the Lord." All shall know him, from the least to the greatest. God keeps his covenant. Here is the devil's man, and he breaks his covenant. He keeps it only for 3.5 years. And we read together how that after that, in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. The devil does not keep his promises, even for his own. The devil won't be able to help the nation of Israel. The king of the north will come at him. The king of the south will push at him. And this king in the land will be under pressure in the end of that 7 year period. And he'll feel the pressure of the king of the south, Egypt, and the king of the north. And he'll pass through like an overflowing scourge. God says to Israel in Isaiah 28, "When the overflowing scourge comes, ye shall be trodden down of it." The devil, Satan's man, will not be able to protect Israel, even despite signing a covenant with them. So that's the 7 years, the last 7 years of this world's history before the Lord Jesus Christ comes again to this world. But, you know, I thought, you know, when you look at prophetic truth, you've got to sort out the people involved. You know, I've got to be honest, you know, I was asked to speak on this subject back in Scotland about a year and a half ago. And the first thing you do is you get down all the books, the prophetic books from your shelf, and you look up who is the little horn and the beast and the Antichrist and the false prophet. And you know, the only thing that the books had in common was they were all different from one another. And so they're no help at all. You've got to sit down and say, well, let's put a stake in the ground. Let's build up a picture, first of all, of these two men in Revelation chapter 13, the two beasts. And we can look at the characteristics of these men. And once we've established that, we can go all through the Bible. And we can look at all these different titles, the little horn and the Antichrist and the false prophet. And we can relate all these different titles to the two men that we read of in Revelation chapter number 13. So in Revelation 13, there's a beast that arises, verse number 1, who arises out of the sea. And I think we're safe to say that here is a Gentile ruler. He equates with the fourth beast of Daniel number chapter number 7. He's a Gentile ruler. And what marks him is power. Were we to go down the chapter and pick out things here and there, we would see that, first of all, his power is satanic. In verse number 2, the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. This man is given Satan's power. You know, I thought, you know, the wonderful contrast between Revelation 13, verse 1 and Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 4. And there Satan stands before the Lord Jesus and shows him all the kingdoms of this world and all their glory. And he says, "All this will be yours if you bow down and worship me." And of course, the Lord refuses. It is written. But here at last, Satan finds a man who will take up that offer of all the kingdoms of this world and all their glory. And Satan will gladly give him his power and his throne and great authority. His power is satanic, inspired, given to him by Satan himself. His power is military. Verse number 4 says, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? The world will never have seen a man with such power and such authority and such military strength as this man, Satan's man. Who is able to make war with him? He'll have tremendous military power. His power will be universal. Verse number 7. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and all tongues and all nations. His power will be universal. Never will ever the world have seen such power as will be given to this man, Satan's man, the first beast of Revelation. We also read about his commercial power, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark of the beast or the number of his name. Can you imagine it? A man with universal power, with such military strength, with such commercial strength, that men won't be able to buy or sell unless they're willing to take the mark of the beast. power is what marks the first beast of Revelation chapter number 13. But above all, he's noted as an object of worship. We might say about this first beast that he is anti-God. He is anti-God insofar as he's opposed to God. He blasphemes his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. He's bitterly opposed to God. But he also assumes the very place of God. We read here about all who dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. He is worshipped. He is worshipped by men. All who dwell upon earth shall worship him. He takes the very place of God himself. So we see that's the character of the first beast. So now we can go through the pages of the Bible. See, now, these are the titles which are used. Do they match up to the character of the man who's here in Revelation 13, verses 1 down to 10? From Daniel chapter number 7, there's a little horn arises. And he comes out of a confederacy of 10 nations. And he's the one who rises up and subdues three kings. And that's why in Revelation 13, verse 1, you have seven heads and 10 horns. You've got 10 kingdoms. But he has subdued three kings and takes their power. So you've got seven heads and ten horns. He's a little horn of Daniel chapter number 7. He's also therefore the man of sin of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. He as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He takes the place of God himself. He makes himself an object of worship. So the first beast of Revelation 13 is a little horn. And he's also the man of sin of Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter number 2. But that leaves lots of other titles. So what's the character now of the second beast that we read of in Revelation 13? Well, he's a Jew. We read there that he rises up out of the earth. So he's a Jew. In Daniel chapter number 11, we read about a king in the land. He shall honour the God of forces. A God whom his fathers knew not shall he honour with gold and silver and precious stones. We know he's in the land because the king of the north pushes at him. The king of the south comes at him. He's trapped between Egypt and the king of the north. He's in the land. The Bible also talks there about the glorious land. It's Israel. So this man now is in the land. He's a king in the land. He would equate then to the second beast of Revelation chapter number 13. What marks the second beast? It's not power. We know it's miracles. And he doeth great wonders, verse 13, he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by reason of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. He's a great miracle worker. Did he not say about the Lord Jesus when he was here? Perhaps even men who didn't believe in him. And they heard about his miracles, and they said, when the Christ comes, will he do more miracles than these which this man doeth? So there was great stirrings in the nation of Israel when the Lord was here by reason of his miracles. So those books I refer to, perhaps the most common error is this, that they say, the beast, comma, the Antichrist. The beast, the Antichrist, as if he's one and the same person. We know the Antichrist, yes, he's opposed to Christ, but he's also an impersonator of the Lord Jesus. He's a false Christ. You know, even an apostate, unbelieving nation, as Israel will be in the majority in a day to come, even they could not accept as their Messiah a man who was a Gentile. He has to be a Jew. He has to be one of them. And in Daniel chapter number 11, it's a king in the land, a king in the land of Palestine. He's a false Christ. And so he has all the credentials of a false Christ by his miracles, by those signs and wonders which he had power to do in the sight of the first beast. You know, in many ways he's like the Lord Jesus. The Bible even says here he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke as a dragon. And so he's got all the appearance of the Lord Jesus. And you can imagine Israel in the day to come, they're hemmed in on either side, the king of the north, the king of the south. They're under tremendous pressure, tremendous military pressure. They've made a covenant with the beast, and they're looking to this man within the land to help them. And here he is doing great miracles. And he just looks like the Lamb. And in many ways, you know, he's like the Lord Jesus because he himself is not an object of worship. He causeth that all men should worship the image of the first beast. So he's not looking for glory for himself, but he's pointing men towards the first beast, that all men should worship the first beast of Revelation chapter 13. So this second beast, he's the Antichrist. He's the false prophet. And all these other titles of our Bible, they belong to this second beast. He's the king in the land. He's the wicked one, therefore, of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And there you read about signs and lying wonders. It's a great miracle worker. So he's the second man of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, the wicked one, with all his signs and lying wonders. So we sorted out the men. And unless you sort out the men, you'll never sort out the truth of prophetic scriptures. You've got to put the men in the right place, these two men, the two beasts of Revelation 13. So what can we say now about these two men from chapter 13 itself? Well, here is a beast rises up out of the sea with seven heads and ten horns. Now, if you've been reading through Revelation, that would ring a bell somewhere. And you know, you only have to go back one page to Daniel chapter 12. And there you have the description of the dragon himself. And what is he like? He has got seven heads and ten horns. And here's his man who looks just like him. The beast arises out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. And the beast was like a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. What are all these animals? What are all these animals are mentioned in Daniel chapter number 7? And you know, each of these animals represented one of those beasts, those four beasts which Daniel saw. So then Greece was like a leopard. It was known for the speed of its conquest. Alexander the Great, how he conquered nation after nation in just a space within of a few years. His feet were as the feet of a bear, the Medes and the Persians. A bear with its crushing strength. And had the mouth of a lion noted for its ferocity. You know, in Daniel's day, Daniel saw this great vision. And he lived through two of those first great empires. He witnessed then the ferocity of the lion of Babylon. And that ferocity was enough to conquer nation after nation after nation in the days of Daniel. But you know, that nation didn't stand. Babylon was overthrown by the Medes and Persians, the crushing strength of a bear. Can you imagine a kingdom rising up? And it's got all the features. It's got the speed of the leopard. And it's got the crushing strength of the bear. And it's got the ferocity of the lion. All the features that mark these first three great kingdoms are all inherent in the last great empire which is going to rise up in this world. It's got all the strength of these wild animals in the past. But it's got the dragon's power. The dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. And one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. His deadly wound was healed. Perhaps one of those nations will collapse. A confederacy of 10 states, but maybe one will collapse. And people say, well, you know, that's the end of it. It's finished. But one of those deadly wounds will be healed. And all the world will wonder after the beast. They worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? You can go down all these chapters and you see tremendous oratory. A mouth given to him speaking great things and blasphemies. Power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Is it not the case, looking back over the world's history, that when kingdoms have been raised up and men have wrought great havoc in this world, Hitler in Germany, a mouth speaking great things, a great orator, able to sway the masses. He is a man with not only great power, but tremendous oratory. You know, he'll be the answer that the world is looking for. And that's why in Thessalonians, we read that when they shall say peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh upon them as a woman with child. The world has problems today. And maybe these problems will get worse and worse, and they'll be looking for a man. Give us a man, they'll be saying. We need peace. We need safety. We need somebody to solve all our problems. And Satan will say, here's your man. Here's a man with all the power. Here's a man with all the authority. Here's the man with commercial might. You won't be able to buy or sell. So they'll say, those who had the mark of the beast or the number of his name, they shall say peace and safety, and sudden destruction shall come upon them like a woman with child. He's the devil's man. He's the devil's answer. And the whole world worships the dragon and they worship the beast. Now, we said at the beginning, we've heard of these three young people. We wonder how it's possible for young people today or anyone to worship Satan. And yet the whole world will wonder after the beast. And the whole world, all who dwell upon earth, shall worship the dragon, and they'll worship the beast, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him. What an awful day this world is looking, is anticipating. Thank God we'll not be here. So we said last week, we're all going. Not one will be left behind. And thank God for that, we'll not be here when the world will have this awful day, this awful period of 7 years, when it will endure these two men with all their power and with all their might. Just to look quickly at the second beast before we close, the great miracle worker. He doeth great wonders. He makes fire to come down from heaven in the sight of all men. And what is this number 666, which men play around with and men make jokes about today? Well, you know, we could do umpteen mathematical permutations, 3 times 222 and 6 times 111. We can go on and on forever. But, you know, it's a number of a man. And that's all it is. It's the number of a man. It's 666, the number of a man. Adam was made on the sixth day. Six is man's number all through the scriptures. And there's nothing special about the man, the number itself. It's a number of a man. It's Satan's man. And this second beast of Revelation 13, he gives men, men must take the mark of the beast or the number of his name. It's man at his worst. It is man shaking his fist in the very face of God. It is a man saying, now, we have the power now. We'll do what we like. And it's men worshipping the dragon and men worshipping the beast. It's man at his worst. Man opposed to God. It's a number of a man. What an awful day then it will be when these two men have their day. As we said at the beginning, every dog has his day. And it's Satan's day. And these two men will wreak havoc in this world, in Israel, and amongst all the nations. But their day will end. How will it all end? Well, the king of the north will sweep through Israel. The beast won't be able to protect them. Israel will be a battleground. And all the nations will gather together, armies encompassed about Jerusalem. And half of a city taken and half a city ravaged. And Israel is tottering on the brink of extinction. And the Lord comes. And the Lord will stand up the Mount of Olives, the place he left from. The words of the angels will be fulfilled. Ye shall not see him until he comes again to that very place, the Mount of Olives. Ye shall see him come in like manner as ye have seen him go, and he'll come again to the Mount of Olives. That mountain will cleave to the north and south. A valley of escape will be opened, and the Lord will come, and the Lord will save his people. And the beast will be taken, and so will the false prophet. They've had their day, and they'll be cast alive into the lake of fire. God took Elijah and Enoch alive into heaven without dying. God will cast these two men alive into the lake of fire to be tormented forever and ever. The devil will have his day. What an awful day it will be. But it's only 7 years, and the Lord will come, and the Lord will save his people, and the Lord will save Israel. And what a blessing it will be now for 1,000 years. The Lord shall reign. A king shall reign in righteousness, and then the day of God shall appear. What's going to happen with this, that, and the other? You know, doctrines, false doctrines arise about the rapture because people don't appreciate what's going to happen during those 7 years. People confuse the rapture with the Lord's advent. So because there's ignorance, there's fear, and there's error. And people are made to fear, well, you know, if you're not faithful when the Lord comes, you're not going. The rapture is distinct, totally distinct from the events we've spoken about tonight. We're going, and we're all going, and we're all in heaven before these awful days will take place. Thank God for that. We must pray indeed, yes, for this world is a sad old world. We pray indeed that men might be saved before these awful days will come about. The days of the beast, the beasts of Revelation chapter number 13. Shall we pray? Our Father, we do thank thee again for thy word. We thank thee for its fullness, its completeness. We thank thee thou hast not left us to doubt or wonder about these things, but thou hast left these things in record for our learning. We do pray we might learn lessons from them. We often think how much we love this world, and the world is so attractive and can be so alluring to us. But this world is ripe for judgment. This world is ripe for Satan to bring these two men forward. There will be a day when all men shall worship the dragon, and they shall worship the beast. What an awful world it will be. We do pray, Father, that we might emancipate ourselves from this world. We might ever look to thee, Lord Jesus. We might ever be willing to serve him and live for him. We might always be seeking to please thyself. Remember Enoch of old, before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased thee. Our Father, oh, indeed, that this might be the word written upon our lives, that before we go, that we have pleased thee. We just commend ourselves now to thee. We seek thy a parting blessing as we give thee our thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus.